This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 23rd, 2019. The Solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Our Lord Jesus Christ, or Corpus Christi, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Melchizedek, King of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The solemnity of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. It pains me that so many in our day do not appreciate the Blessed Sacrament of the altar for what it is. What it is being our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a matter of what it is, but who it is. God, from time immemorial, has let us know that the first and foremost way that He is going to deal with us in this world directly is through the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, through the Eucharist. When we read from that first reading today, the book of Genesis, first book in the Bible, very early on in Genesis, we have this incident where Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. When we look at that incident so long ago, we see an incident wherein someone who does something is foreshadowing what our Lord is going to do with us. It's interesting that in the Roman canon, that there are three personages of whom we speak from the Old Testament that brought sacrifice. And in the canon of the Mass, we hear of the sacrifice that Abel brought. We hear of the sacrifice that Abraham brought. That when we read about what Melchizedek brought, it doesn't say the sacrifice, the gift. It says that what he brought was the holy sacrifice, the immaculate victim. Why is that? What were the other two sacrifices that Abel and Abraham brought? Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, killed some goats, sheep, to God. God accepted it. Abraham, at God's behest, is ready to sacrifice his son. God keeps him from doing that, and then he provides a ram, another animal to be killed. But when Melchizedek brings bread and wine, we hear that is the holy sacrifice, the immaculate victim. A lot of commentators look at that incident and say, well, no, he just brought things for the troops to eat after their battle. Anyone could have done that. I'm okay, I want to bring victuals to somebody who wants to eat something. I send my people out there, bring them some food. No. He is identified as the king of Salem. The king himself brings these things out. This king who is not only a king, but a priest of the Most High God. Priests, their central responsibility is to bring sacrifice to God Almighty. This king of Salem brings, as a priest, a sacrifice. He doesn't bring food and drink for soldiers. He brings a sacrifice, and that sacrifice, in that day and age, what is a sacrifice? You kill an animal. This holy sacrifice, the immaculate victim, is bread and wine. This is how long ago God lets us know that the most direct way that he is going to provide for us in this world is through bread and wine, the holy sacrament of the altar. We learn this because as Scripture plays out, we see how this is manifest. Melchizedek brings bread and wine, the holy sacrifice, the immaculate victim, and then in the Psalter, Psalm 109, for those of you who like to take notes, Psalm 109, we read that the coming Messiah is going to be one that is of the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Most people don't get how disconnected that is. When the psalmist writes that, who's the priests? They're Levites. They're in the Aaronic priesthood. It's what family you belong to. That's what makes you a priest. And anybody outside that family is not a priest. But when the Messiah is going to be coming, he is going to be of the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek. What? Well, it's explained to us in the New Testament, in Hebrews, in part in chapter 5, but the entirety of verse 7 equates our Lord Jesus Christ with this one Melchizedek, who brought bread and wine as the holy sacrifice, the immaculate, the unblemished, the unspotted victim. This is where we understand these things. It's important to understand because it should start to elicit within us an appreciation of what the Eucharist is all about, who it is, what it's about, but who it is, first and foremost. It's interesting to see, what are we told in our day? What is the emphasis? It's the communal meal. Everybody comes up and shares. We're one body. It's like a big Holy Supper. It's recalling the Last Supper. If it was recalling the Last Supper, we would have a much different approach to it because the Last Supper was a bummer of a dinner party. The Last Supper was our Lord Jesus Christ standing before his apostles and talking about denial, talking about betrayal. And then they go, who? Is it I? Is it I? Is it me? Is it me? It wasn't fun. It wasn't nice. It was about sacrifice. And then our Lord Jesus Christ institutes the supper. This is my body. This is my blood. Why didn't he do that? It was all about just remembering things, a memorial of what he did. Why didn't he do that after the cross? Why didn't he do it after the cross? Hey, you saw me die. You see me risen before you. Let me institute this meal that's a remembrance of that. The first time our Lord Jesus Christ offers himself to the Father is sacramentally, through bread and wine, as Melchizedek. This lets us know how profound this bread and wine that becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior, how important it is. It is nothing less than the centerpiece of our existence as Catholics in this world. That's an understatement. It should be everything for us. Because when you look at how God has presented himself to us and how he gives us an understanding of how he is going to engage with us, it is all about the bread and wine. It is not about a meal, our coming together and hanging out. That's not what it's about. It does not discount that the vehicle through the bread and wine, it is going to become our Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no place for that discussion. It is, but it's a completely ancillary issue, this whole supper thing. In the second reading today, Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. Not you proclaim the Lord's death and remember the meal that we had. It's not even mentioned. It's not even and. It's we proclaim the Lord's death. This is why the Mass has traditionally, historically been referred to as the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is all about the cross. That's what we do in here. People look at me before you. You don't smile very much when you're doing. Why? What is to smile about? The gravity of the God-man who hung on a cross, tacked with railroad spikes there, and suffered for hours because of me? I'm going to smile about that? There is no happiness there, just like there was no happiness at the Last Supper. It flies in the face of the presentation of our day, but it is nonetheless true. This is why the Church has always proclaimed that this is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, because it is Corpus Christi. You can come to Mass and you don't have to hear a homily. Homilies are okay, they're good, they're, you know, to a lesser or greater extent, but it's a non-issue. Our Lord never says one time in Scripture, hear a homily in remembrance of me. Read the Scriptures in remembrance of me. He says, do this, the Eucharist, in remembrance of me. Because every time we do it, we proclaim his death until he comes again. This is the sacrament. It's not about what it is. It is about who it is. Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. When we celebrate Corpus Christi, it is to do two things, to glorify the Blessed Sacrament and to bring souls to the feet of Jesus Christ. To glorify the Blessed Sacrament, as I said, the Mass in and of itself is in its essence a link to the cross. It brings us back to Calvary. It brings Calvary and Jesus Christ to us in this world. It is not a history lesson. We don't do well with history lessons. History gets passed down and it gets changed. That's not what our Lord wanted. He wanted his sacrifice to be represented as oft as we come together and eat his flesh and drink his blood. It is only the nature and mode that have changed. The nature of the first sacraments, that one for all sacrament was bloody. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, hung on a cross, suffered and died. The nature of the new presentation of that is bloodless. The mode has changed. A human being doesn't hang on a cross. Bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the one who was sacrificed for us. That was a one sacrifice, but he is still continually present because he promised to be present with us. This is why we glorify the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, I've actually read little tracts. Oh, I don't know if you ever heard the chick tracts. He died a few years ago, but this one chick who wrote tracts, he hated Catholics. One of the things, like, they're bread worshipers. They don't worship God. They worship bread. Oh, you who have so dim eyes to see that it is God under the form of bread. Because why? Because I can explain it to you. No, because Jesus Christ said, this is my body, this is my blood. It is about who the Blessed Sacrament. Yes, do we bend the knee? Do we get on our face before the sacramental forms? Absolutely, and we should, because they are God. This is what pains me so tremendously when I see what is nothing less than denigration and sacrilege is the way people approach the Blessed Sacrament. because you bring to remembrance a lot of places you have been in the past and how people approach divinity and act as they do with irreverence, being improper. It should make you sick to your stomach. I am one to appreciate this because, and this is the first year I ever did the math. Most people have been around here just a couple weeks. No, I'm a late vocation. I was out of the church for decades. But I did the math this year to actually see, and this is why I'm so hell-bent on putting forth before us the necessity of respecting Jesus Christ, because I want people to avoid hell. I know personally what it's like not to have Jesus Christ objectively in my life. 38 years. It never struck me until this week. That's how long. 38 years without Jesus Christ in the sacrament. This is why I am so zealous to have people, as I said, hell-bent, because I want them to avoid it. It is not something that is ethereal. It's not something that, oh, we just can't explain it, so whatever. It's Jesus Christ. I know what it's like to not have him in your life for 38 years and how much you appreciate it when you have him again. This is of the utmost importance for us. This is to understand the reality. It would be like a sick person who's felt like trash for 38 years, and all of a sudden you get medicine and you're great. You're like, my gosh, the medicine was always there and I spent 38 years languishing. You're going to tell everybody who doesn't feel well about that medicine that makes them feel well. All right? And you're going to tell them what they must do to receive it. This is why. Yeah. I choose my audience. It's a great. This is why the vast majority of Catholics who are converts or reverts, and I don't mean after being gone for 6 months or a year, after decades, converts and reverts have a tendency to be the most zealous Catholics because they don't take Jesus for granted. This is the Blessed Sacrament because it is Jesus Christ himself. We should glory in the fact that in the Blessed Sacrament, that in that sacrament we have infinite benefits. Intrinsically, because of who it is. It's Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. He is eternal. He's infinite. So just his mere presence, we have an infinite presence. When we take him into you're taking into your finite being infinity. And if you remain in faith and obedience, it is what will keep you for all eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Mass is infinitely, intrinsically holy. It is also extra. This is how holy it is. If you come in here and for some reason, and I'm not talking about mortal sin, I'm talking about if you're not comfortable with how long you fasted, or if you're not comfortable with some maybe tiff you've had with somebody and you got to make it right. If you don't feel properly disposed to receive sacramentally our Lord, if you do the spiritual communion, you receive infinite graces through just the spiritual communion because you are communing spiritually with the infinity, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we should bring ourselves to the foot of the cross and glorify the Blessed Sacrament. This is why we get on our knees before it. This is why we should be so reverent when it comes, because it is intrinsically infinite. And it works two ways, positively and negatively. I name names occasionally. I don't have a problem with it. The demon McCarrick, who has torn this church asunder. Yeah, kind of hard to believe that an individual can be so evil that what he did, not that there's not all kind of other problems going on, but sort of the poster child of evil in the church of our day. Every time that evil one celebrated Mass, faithful people received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior Jesus Christ. For some people, I would guarantee you scores, if not hundreds of people, are in heaven now because of the sacrament they received from the hands of that evil man. But for him, every time he celebrated Mass, it was a black Mass. It was demonic and it was evil. Same Mass, same Jesus Christ, but internal disposition. Those who received Jesus Christ in faith, they were benefited spiritually by it. He, unless he repents, is going to go to hell for all eternity because of the same sacrament. This is why St. Paul says, if you eat and drink of this unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. Because this doesn't matter what you think about it, your receptionism. It's all about your disposition. Do you believe it's Jesus Christ? Are you properly disposed to receive divinity within yourself? Now, if you really get down to brass tacks, most of them say, I'm never worthy. That's not what he means. But as long as you're repentant and contrite of your sins, and you do have a firm purpose for amendment of life, it is to your glory to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because the infinite Lord of glory will bless you. But if you do so willingly and knowingly, with a improper disposition, you are eating and drinking damnation to yourself. That's why the church has always been and should still remain and is in its proper place, always cognizant of who receives the Blessed Sacrament. It is first and foremost up to you to know your proper disposition. And this isn't the day or time to go through that whole thing. You should know when you are properly disposed to receive Jesus Christ. I, as a priest, it is my responsibility. Contrary to what you hear from a lot of places, it is each and individual priest's responsibility to ensure, not only for the glory of Jesus Christ, that he is not presented to someone who is not worthy and not properly disposed to receive him, but for the good of their souls, that you will not poison them and provide them damnation if you know better. It is each priest's responsibility to do that. This is why the church is so uptight, or should be so uptight, about who receives and who doesn't. That's part of the conflict of our day. We are to bring souls to the feet of Christ as that second thing in Corpus Christi, as I said. This is about the Eucharist. This is about bringing people to Jesus Christ for the amendment of their life and eternal life to be had in him and him alone. And the only way you receive him is Eucharistically. This is the whole message of today. It started with Melchizedek. We have the institution of the supper. And henceforth, the Eucharist is the way God deals with us. Because it is God. Not a symbol of anything. It's not a memorial of anything in a cognitive sense. It is Jesus Christ. We bring souls to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, both in the Mass and outside. It has been tradition that after the Corpus Christi principal Mass, that there is a procession. We don't see processions too much anymore. Oh, yeah, they have a procession. They march around the parking lot of this church or that church. That's not a procession. A procession is bringing Jesus Christ out into the public square. It's confronting pagans with the presence of Jesus Christ. Somebody sent me a video this morning, and it was taken in Cologne, Germany, right after World War II. During World War II wasn't a high point for Catholicism in Germany, okay? But amidst the rubble of this battered city, you ought to see the procession with the Blessed Sacrament, the bishop with the monstrance walking under the canopy, hundreds of nuns in habits, hundreds of clergy, and thousands of faithful behind them, walking through these rubble-strewn streets, bringing Jesus Christ out there to people who were devastated. What happens when you're devastated? You need Jesus Christ. You bring him out to the people to show him. This is what we do. This is what we're supposed to do. I won't get into details, but I feel remiss, and I have for the past couple years, that trying to figure out some way that that happens. It's happening next year, in this parish anyway. This is what we have to do. We have to bring souls to the feet of Christ. And the only way we do it is not some abstraction. Yeah, I love when people, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You have no idea. I bring divinity within my very being every time I go to Mass. What you're talking about is some abstract, subjective, personal relationship. It doesn't get any more personal than bringing someone into your own body. That's the Eucharist, and it's only for us. That's not a triumphalistic statement. It's Jesus Christ. There is only one church, and the Eastern Orthodox fall under this umbrella when I say Catholic, because they are recognized as having a valid priesthood and valid sacrament. You must have a valid priesthood to have a valid sacrament. That only exists in the Roman Catholic Church and in the Eastern Orthodox churches. The only place it exists. Everyone else, they either, I know a bunch of Anglicans, I believe in transubstantiation. Well, you couldn't, because if you did, you wouldn't be an Anglican. Because Anglican priests don't have the authority to confect the Blessed Sacrament. That's just receptionism. I believe it, so it, no, it doesn't matter about what you believe. It's what it is objectively. Only Catholic priests have the ability to confect the Blessed Sacrament. This is a scary thing. And this is why I'm always emphasizing, oh, he doesn't like Protestant. It's just the opposite. I love them. I want them to go to heaven. And a necessity for them to get to heaven is the Eucharist. What? How can you say that? I don't. Jesus Christ does. This ties everything up. This is how important the Blessed Sacrament is. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. If you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have eternal life. The only thing that Protestants can agree on is that the bread and wine are not the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to fix that. You need to fix that by letting them know that that's what Jesus Christ. They love the Bible. What about that? Well, he didn't really mean that literally. Yeah, he did. They take everything else literally, but when it comes to things like, oh no, I can't take that literally. Why? Because I can't beat that into my theology. We need to beat our theology into what Jesus says. And he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I'm leaving the Catholic Church. Throwing your life away. Nothing less. Nothing less. This should be a catalyst for us to confront these people with the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is about the Eucharist. It's not about some abstract relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about membership in this and doing this ministry and that. It is how you approach the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the bread and wine, the forms that become his body and blood, soul and divinity. This is how important it is. It is nothing less than going to heaven as to how you approach the Blessed Sacrament. In Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.